Christmas has many scriptures, as we've heard this evening. Prophets like Isaiah in the Old Testament, whether they knew it or not, foretold Jesus' birth in the context of their time and place. The people were expecting a Messiah, a Savior, to bring justice and righteousness and peace on earth. Would he be a mighty king? And warrior like David, who would restore the nation of Israel to its former glory? Would he be like Moses, who would lead the people of Israel from their suffering in exile and reclaim the promised land? Would the Messiah be a prophet like Elijah, who would lead the people back to worship the one and true God? When the New Testament writers claimed that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah, everyone was surprised. He did not look like a great national leader or a mighty warrior or a revered prophet. The Gospel writer Luke tells us that this Messiah was born in a stable and laid in a manger, and that the first ones to learn of him were lowly shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks. And the Gospel writer Matthew gives us another perspective. No manger, no shepherds, no angels, but foreigners, astrologers no less, from a distant land, are led by a star and claim to have found their promised king in the little town of Bethlehem. The Gospel writer John gives us still another perspective of the Messiah's birth. His story is in a language of poetry and theology. He describes Jesus as the Word of God made flesh, the same Word that created the world. And just as amazing, this divine Word came to earth as a baby. Who could have imagined God becoming flesh and dwelling among us? Now, the Greek word translated lived among us or dwelt among us is the Greek word skenu, literally meaning to pitch a tent. Those who had flocks or herds and those who were refugees or immigrants because of poverty or political unrest often lived in tents. So literally, this text reads, the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. This imagery was especially poignant for the people living in biblical times. And those of you who might go camping with your family or friends during the summer can appreciate how close you become when you live in a tent. This claim that God came to pitch his tent with us sets Christianity apart from all other faiths. God became like one of us. He moved into our neighborhood to bring us back to God and to show us what it means to be truly human. That's the meaning of the incarnation. That's the reason why we celebrate Christmas. You know, we stray away from God in our busy lives throughout the year, and we pay the price when we act as if we can handle life on our own. And then things start to overwhelm us. God can seem very distant. At times we wonder, where is God? We learn from the Bible that God has always loved us. God sent his prophets and other messengers to tell us about his love, to teach us how to live. God gave his written word in the scriptures. God tried to bridge the separation between himself and humanity in many and various ways, but nothing seemed to work. Imagine all the angels and the heavenly hosts gathered around the heavenly throne for a discussion of the world's sad state of affairs. Things are really in a mess on earth. The Creator is terribly concerned about what is happening. Wars, constant fighting, people left hungry and homeless, cruelty, the ruin and destruction of God's good earth. I've tried everything, God explained to the heavenly hosts. I have spoken to them in some of the most beautiful words that they could ever hope to hear, the glorious Psalms of King David, the poetry of Isaiah. They love to read about peace and goodwill, but they don't seem to get it. I warned them through the prophets, but they did not listen to Jeremiah or Amos or Micah to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with me. The angels, including Gabriel and Michael and others, had been on assignment before to carry God's mission on earth, but they had seen for themselves the reasons for God's concern and sadness. And finally, God said to them, I think the only thing left to do for you is that a member of you, of the heavenly court, go down to earth and live with them, and not just for a brief visit, but for a lifetime. Pitch your tent with them, get to know them, become one of them. Let them know who you are and who sent you. Then perhaps they will take notice of the great separation between the way they have been living and the way I have created them to live. The angels looked at each other in an awkward silence. They had been to earth before to effect some momentary intervention in human affairs, but they weren't about to volunteer for long-term duty in such a difficult and deadly place. There was a long silence. And then finally, God said without any bitterness of resignation, then I will go. And that is Christmas. God coming to earth to show us his love and to demonstrate the right way to live. The first act in this drama of the world's redemption we celebrate tonight might be described as God in diapers. And then this God child, Jesus, grew up. He walked the earth. He showed God's love in his words and deeds. He demonstrated God's power to forgive and to heal. He invited people to come to follow him and be his disciples. And well, you know the story, from a manger to a cross. The poet W.H. Auden describes what happened in words attributed to the shepherds on that dark night in the fields of Bethlehem. Tonight, for the first time, the prison gates have opened. Music and sudden light have interrupted our routine tonight and swept the filth of habit from our hearts, and here and now our endless journey starts. In the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, in the next to the last chapter, we see how this journey moves forward. Again, the angels are singing. See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them. When the writer of Revelation says that God's home will be with us, it's the same word that John uses to describe God's dwelling with us, God pitching his tent among us. God did not come just for a brief visit, but God came to make his home with us and to be with us always and forever. It means so much when someone comes in person. I recall visiting an elderly person in a nursing home one Christmas, and I was admiring a beautiful bouquet of flowers and other gifts that had been sent by her son who lived a distance away. She said, "Yes, these are lovely gifts, but I gladly exchange all of them for a visit from my son who I haven't seen in years." God came in person. Our God is a giver of so many gifts: warm homes, friends, a church family, good food, presents under the tree. For all of these things, we are truly grateful. But tonight, we rejoice that God is with us. Perhaps the words of the Christmas carol that we sang, a favorite of children, can be our prayer tonight. Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask thee to stay close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all your dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there. As God's beloved children, may God bless us and stay close to us forever. Amen. There's a Christmas carol that refers to our offering as a gift to the Christ child. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would give him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet, what can I give him? Give him my heart. Along with our monetary gifts, let us give him the gift of our lives. Let us present our offerings.